listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to, what is it? Spirit of Life weekly service. I was distracted. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Let's just shift the blame here because that's what
we're doing around
here. Okay. Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life weekly service for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016. I'm not Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And I'm not Dr. Vicki Hunter. We're imposters.
Yeah, we're their clones. They're actually out, you know, doing something else. Yeah.
Happy to be here, everybody. Glad to see everybody in the chat room, and we're just glad to be here.
Yes, we are. And let's go through our preamble here. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also have several other educational programs, educational being the key word, because we'll talk about that in a minute. EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. Thomas Francis University at TFUniversity.org, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees. Now, normally we do our principles of belief. In a moment here, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. We're going to talk a little bit about principle of belief number one, or rather number eight. But before that, I don't want to move on much without welcoming everybody and thanking you for being here in the chat room. I know Dr. Hunter did that, but I like to do it too. And also thanks to those who are listening to the archive. And we've got Michael Kelly behind the scenes here pushing buttons and doing other things. So let's talk about principle of belief number eight. Now, we have nine principles of belief. They are available to read at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And we've been going through each one in the past few weeks, so we'll talk about number eight tonight, and I'll read it to you. It says, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Now, there are two main points in here that I want to touch on. That is education and being open but grounded. First of all, education. You know, it's no secret that education raises one's quality of life. It reduces crime. It allows one to gain a higher-paying job, reduces poverty and dependence on state aid, reduces teen pregnancies, and elevates self-esteem. That's just a few of the things that education does. There are a lot of benefits to an educated society, including peacefulness and more civility. You know, education or the lack thereof can be directly linked to the success or failure of any civilization, and that's happened in the past. Life is about learning and growing, and when we stop growing, we die. Education is absolutely critical, and specifically within education, I want to focus on practical life skills. You know, most of us did not learn a lot of the practical life skills going through school, and a lot of us didn't learn from our parents. I'm sure we learned some, but there are a lot of great practical life skills that kind of escaped most of us, and these are in the areas of communication, relationships, critical thinking are just a few, but these are so important that we educate ourselves on these practical life skills so that we can have a more fulfilling and more successful life. And that's what ICMH Church is all about. That's what our schools teach, practical life skills, and they change lives for the better, and they've changed tons of lives, numerous lives. people who, you know, were in toxic relationships, didn't even quite even realize they were in a toxic relationship. And then they learn practical life skills. They learn relationship skills. And it changes their life. And they're able to resolve those situations. And there's so many. Dr. Hunter and I were talking today about how the curriculum at IMHS and Thomas Francis really can cause, I don't know, some mental or emotional upheavals, if you will. They get people thinking, and it takes a little time to process it and to kind of learn those new things. And so the practical life skills that we can learn in communication skills, relationship skills, critical thinking are all crucial to being successful. So if you're not already a student in one of our schools, I really highly encourage you to enroll, because not only will you get that education, but that leads to more self-confidence, greater self-esteem, and that directly relates to your success or higher success in life. So education, absolutely crucial. And Dr. Hunter, go ahead and comment, and then I'll bring up the second point.
All I was saying is today I'd made a comment to Dr. Kelly that, you know, going through the bachelor's program is like 20 self-help books wrapped into a paragraph. And it's true. I mean, there's so much self-discovery along the program, but it's wonderful. It's just very basic, and you say, wow, you know, and I've heard this a lot too, is little things that we overlook and miss. And, you know, the things, as you say, a lot of stuff escaped us when we were young.
Mm-hmm. It does, you know, and we get busy. We're young adults. We get busy. We're in life. We get married. We have kids. And then we get, you know, bogged down with everything. We get confused by everything. You know, we're half kids ourselves at that point. So there's a lot of good stuff that we can use, practical points that you can put into practice immediately and see the results. The second point is on remaining open-minded but grounded. We maintain an open but grounded mind of potential realities as yet undescribed by science. This is another crucial point. In the popular metaphysics field, you know, folks believe in just about anything and everything. There can be popular things that they believe in, and it sounds good, I'll believe in that. But one of the things that we really stress, and this is one of the things that makes metaphysical humanism and our schools different than about any other, we really focus and stress objectivity. Doesn't mean we're closed-minded. It just means that we need a little more substance before we'll go off and say, yeah, we believe that. Because there's too much of that in the world, folks. I mean, every religion's filled with that. I mean, all you have to do is read the Bible or any of those other books, and you get filled with superstition, myth, allegory, and things that honestly are senseless. You know, that just don't make any logical sense whatsoever. But we get reared on that stuff. We know we grow up learning about Adam and Eve and a snake talking. Really? Really? And then we grow up learning about Noah building this ark with all these animals, and the sheer logistics of doing that are beyond belief. It's for all intents and purposes not possible in the way it's described. But we learn all this stuff and we just buy into it, you know. And now I look back on some of this stuff and I hear other stuff, you know, that other religions will believe, and I think, wow, how can anybody believe that? And yet at one point I believed in similar things myself. So we have to be open-minded, but not so open that our brains fall out, as it's been said. We need to remain objective. And if we're going to believe in something, make sure that you have at least a reasonable basis for that belief. And, you know, reasonably defensible. A lot of the stuff in metaphysics we can't prove objectively. We can't put it in a test tube. We can't do scientific tests on it at this point. So it's hard to objectively prove a lot of this. But there is this thing called rational proof and reasonable proof. And we can at least do our research, do our thinking, think deeply about it, use our critical thinking skills, and really have a reasonable basis for our beliefs. For example, life after death. Do you believe in that? You probably do. But why do you believe? How do you know it's real? Why do you think it's true? What is your reasonable, rational basis for that belief? And that goes for anything. That's why I won't take a position on reincarnation one way or the other. You know, there's some things about it that seem like it might be true. There's other things that just don't make sense. So I'm waiting for more data. So I'm not taking a position on it. I'm still open to the concept, but I don't have enough evidence or even reasonable evidence for me to say, yeah, it's probably true. I don't have that yet. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means I don't have it yet. And so those are a couple of examples. Just make sure that what you believe, you have a reasonable and defensible basis for it. Be open-minded, but keep your feet on the ground, because we want the truth, don't we? So many people, they don't even think about this stuff. They just want hope. I just want to hope that we don't die. Well, don't you want something that you can kind of sink your teeth into? You want a reasonable basis for that rather than just believing for belief's sake? I want the truth. And that's one of the reasons why we have the students that we have at IMHS and Thomas Francis, but that's why we have the members we do with the church, is because we take that objective, more grounded approach to things. But people also have open minds to some of this stuff that we hope to be able to get more evidence for in the future. And as time passes on, we're open to it. And that's one of the things that just, it makes us a little bit different. And it's not the popular thing. I'll be the first to tell you. It's not necessarily the popular thing, but I want truth. I spent 40 years being duped. I don't want to be duped anymore. I want the truth. So that is principle of belief number 8. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, actually, I was thinking when you were talking a little bit earlier about my oldest daughters, especially. My oldest daughter, for instance, she now has kids and being exposed to a lot of religious people. And she said to me, Mom, I don't have the foggiest idea what these people are talking about. They quote Bible things and talk about it. She says, I've never even opened one. I don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, yes, I did my job. Yeah. But you know, there's the whole whack of other stuff that I say, oh, I think you need therapy. So you gotta, you know, sometimes there's a bit of a trade-off. But, you know, I think these points, especially in principle number 8, are really critical, just basic critical things for us to look at. And as we keep spreading the word, we just hope, you know, we tell 10 people, those 10 people tell 10 people, and that's how it spreads a little at a time. So it's exciting.
And there's a couple of comments in the chat room, which are great ideas. You know, a couple of students say they're going to read the course material to their kids, you know, at bedtime. Well, you know, that's great. Of course, you know, maybe include fun stuff too. But that's the point, is to teach your kids that. That's great. That's excellent. You want to pass this along. And that's what my hope is for all this, because if we get enough people educated in these practical life skills, guess what? We have more peace. We have better relationships. We have less feuds, less war, less problems, and more success. And that's what it's all about.
I think what it is living it, being a living example of what you've learned. And that, you know, one student, and that's what we're talking about here, one student at IMHS, examples to everyone they come into contact with. You example your changes in what you've learned to your kids. So it's not so much about having to teach the principles if you're living it, you know, except when you encounter people who are not living the principles, and then you can share them. So become a living example of, you know, the greatness in yourself and all the greatness that you're learning.
Great. Well, let's get on with a card then.
Oh, you'll love it.
Okay.
You'll love what I did here. You know, before the show, I should tell our audience that before the show, we did a very, very brief, trust me, a very brief 30-second discussion on politics, and agreeing to not have this discussion on politics because we're coming on to do a broadcast and we want to be positive. Well, sure enough, I turn over a card and it says, don't hate. So you want to talk about a little cosmic nudge here. So, had to, you know, I had a little chuckle about this. And, you know, but I'm going to go with it because I think it is something that we do need to remind ourselves of once in a while. And it's in the wild card suit number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Well, that's right in keeping with what we're talking about tonight. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, and to yourself and to others. So, again, that there's a really important point in there is that we can all agree to disagree. And we might each have, let's say you're talking about parenting and, you know, imparting certain life skills to people, and your children and otherwise. We don't all have to agree. What we can do is be respectful that we might disagree. But if we're all behaving well and following just even the, you know, the essence of the 9 principles that, you know, we follow, then our differences are not going to be so different. You know, it's, you know, somebody might decide to be vegetarian, somebody's a vegan, somebody's a meat eater, and we don't care because we all agree to disagree. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can each have our own expressions, but we have these very basic similar principles. And I think that that's important to acknowledge. When we are in a heated kind of environment, the best thing to do is rise above it and understand it for the frequency that it's at. And it is a low frequency. And we have the task and the responsibility, I might add, even though it seems daunting at times, is to rise above that and to heighten our frequency. So that's what I would say to this wild card number 5, Don't Hate.
Yeah,
unless you have a comment.
If we've pulled that card before, it's only been once, and it's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
So that's good to pull that one. So, you know, just... I mean, it's a simple concept, and it almost sounds too simple. But yet, if we just practice that, don't hate. Okay. You know, don't hate. You want to disagree? Fine. Disagree, but don't hate. Yeah. Enough said.
You know, I might say the equal and opposite of that is in our ideas of what love is. We're human beings who decide how love acts, and that's part of learning life skills and deciding how would I want love to act. People talk about unconditional love, and got to tell you, a few hairs on the back of my neck always stand up when people say, oh, love is unconditional. And that's just not true. Love on earth is conditional. Now, perhaps we can say spiritual love is unconditional, and love of the heart is unconditional. But when we're actually getting through a day, we decide how love is going to behave. I can love you very much, but I can't let you hit me. That's a condition. You know, I can love you very much, but I can't allow you to disrespect me. And equally, I'll do my best to not disrespect you. We are setting the boundaries in being good human beings and improving, evolving human beings. So we have to think about this, you know, very often and remind ourselves, is this how love acts? You know, we have to ask that question all the time. Is this how I want love to act? Now, sometimes we do have to step up to do the right thing. We've talked about that a lot in the past. And we don't like it because it doesn't feel very loving. But sometimes you do have to do the right thing to demonstrate how love must act. And it really is about being, that's the right thing to do in my view.
Good points. Let's do another card.
All right, let's do another card. I'll just put that one aside. I'm going over here. Attitude and disposition number 44. Well, I like how we can talk about even one point in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think critical thinking comes in. Because if something is right this way, it should also be right another way. You know, you can turn that ball around any which way you look at it, you know, it would still come to the very same center. And I think that part of this attitude and disposition goes in, within our conversation. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life, and this can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. So even in our entire discussion, if we look at this in a view about setting examples for others and having the attitude despite what kind of environment you might be in. So if we change our attitude and stay really intact in who we are. So
good point.
Took the words right out of my mouth. If anybody would like a card drawn tonight, a little message, you know, a little reminder message of the day that's right for you, because I got that don't hate thing the minute I mentioned politics. And it was a whack upside my head.
And if you have a question or a concept or something you want to discuss, you can put it in the chat room as well.
Yeah,
we'll do
absolutely.
That. Otherwise, we'll pull another card.
I am drawing another card. Awareness. Oh, I like that card. Of course, I like them all. You know, I'm just saying. I don't remember the last time we actually drew this particular card. It's number 11 in the existential suit. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. So, I like
it. Good point. All right, let's pull a card for Tabitha.
Oh, hello, Tabitha. Nice to have you here today. I don't know. I really like your name. It reminds me of that old show, Bewitched. I love that. Sorry. It just do a word association. I won't forget your name. It's great. Well, Tabitha, for you, we're in the existential suit number 12. We just read number 11. This number 12, spirit, cosmos, and divine energy. So drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit. Or your higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Wow, that's a nice message. There's something awakening inside. I think that's pretty cool. Actually,
yeah.
It is very cool. Yeah. So that's for you, Tabitha. Who else is next, Dr. Kelly?
Let's see. It would be Edward.
Hi, Edward. Nice to have you here. Relationships. So if you can relate to this, Edward, a little message or reminder here for you. Number 40 in the life skills suit. Okay, it says healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. Now, that's important to consider. If you have a relationship with something, you know, it may be time to give it up, not just someone. And someone doesn't necessarily have to be a partnership. You know, it's an intimate or marriage partnership. It could very well be a coworker or, you know, I'm not going to shop at that store anymore. It can be any number of things that you can relate with that, you know, is just not working for you anymore. So I hope that resonates with you, Edward.
All right. And Phyllis would like one.
Hi, Phyllis. Perfection. Number one. Going way back to the beginning of this little booklet. Perfection for you, Phyllis. Always remember that you're perfect just as you are. A perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. So I hope that's something you can relate to there too, Phyllis. And I think that's something we all sometimes just check in, you know, for having a moment and just have to gather our forces a little bit and reflect a little and then move forward in a really positive way.
All right, Bridget is next.
Hi, Bridget. Invoke the counselor within, number 19 in the spirituality suit. So there are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. So if that resonates with you today also, Dr.
All right.
Kelly.
Jenny is next.
Hi, Jenny. Gains, number 27. So this is your little message, Jenny. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. Now, again, it could be a seemingly insignificant thing. You know, just the smallest of things in a day that we say, no, no, I want to keep this, but I really want that. And, you know, so it's a secondary gain, and there's a price. So we have to own the denial and the truth of it and say, okay, okay, you know. And then that's the evolution. So gains, number 27.
Okay.
Who would be next?
That would be Fran.
Hi, Fran. Well, meaning and purpose, number 23. And that's in the spirituality suit also. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of my life? Rather, what is the of life? Rather, what's the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning, purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof. So it's just taking a little inventory for a moment to say, you know, what is the purpose of my life? And know that the purpose today can change tomorrow as you, you know, continue to achieve things, accomplish things, overcome things, and it's a continual building.
Good. So, okay. So there's a kind of a question in the chat from Bridget about and I've put in a request for clarification, but along the lines of the earlier discussion, and she just answered me, so let me read this real quick.
Okay.
She asks, along the lines of the earlier discussion, what would you call seeing an apparition? And earlier discussion being doing research, and when I talked about being grounded and having a reasonable basis for what you believe and that sort of thing. So what I call seeing an apparition, well, an apparition by definition is just you know, something that's not, that you see that's not necessarily physically there. It could be a mirage. It could be a spirit. You know, it can be anything like that, an illusion. Especially if you're doing LSD. Not that I would know that. But, damn it. Anyway.
I quit that stuff.
So that's what I, you know, and obviously if you see something like that, you need to ask yourself, okay, what was that? You know, and if you're like me, if I saw an apparition, I'd try communicating with it. And, of course, Dr. Hunter does. I mean, I've seen an apparition, but it was so quick, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But anyway, I don't know where else to go with this other than make sure that what you're seeing is not a result of stress or medication or things like that. You know, and if it's there, it's there. I mean, see, that's a subjective experience. That's one of the things that people like Dr. Hunter, who recognize reincarnation, knows how I stated that, because there could be more to it than that. But that's why they recognize it, is because they have subjective memories of events. I don't. I have nothing like that. So it's difficult for me to go there, because I need something more than just that, because I don't have that. So if I saw an apparition, I would try communicating with it, and or with him or her. I shouldn't call it an it. It's, if it's a spirit or something, it would be a person. But, you know, I'd also be making sure I wasn't, you know, overloaded on Diet Coke or something.
Here's some advice I might, if I can share with this, and this is how I treat spirits, or as you might call it, an apparition. When I feel the presence or I see something, it usually the first time I ignore it, because I figure three times and then okay. So Bridget's saying it just appeared behind me and shocked me, and then I would just say, "Don't scare me like that."
Yeah, treat him like a person.
Exactly,
treat him just like a person.
If you've got a point to make, you might not come up from behind me. You obviously have the ability to appear wherever you like, and it could be in my face, please, or just kind of, oh, and it's coming every night, Bridget says. Then you got to talk to it. And
go ahead.
Look, here's the deal. This is nothing to be afraid of. Whatever your frequency is what's going to be attracted. And I don't mean let me explain this. I don't worry about bad spirits because they got nothing on me. In fact, if I ever do sense a negative kind of energy around, I say, come on in for tea. You know, and they don't, because I'm not afraid. It's like, okay, you don't want to come in and have tea? Then go away. It's that simple. And usually I use profanities. And it goes away. But if somebody is coming every night, it's because they generally have something to talk to you about, or, you know, it's just they happen to be there and you're on their turf, which can happen too. So they don't really want anything from you. It's more like, excuse me, you're on my turf. Oh, I didn't know I'm on your turf. So now we're in shared space because I'm human and you're not. It's just really simple if we have to live in shared space. And I don't necessarily kick them out. Because I think shared space is good. It's just don't move things, don't steal things, and don't break stuff. And because that'll really pee me off. And then I'll have to tell you to go away. And I will make you go away. See, because you can't push a big rock. That's why I don't worry about it.
let me give you some things too, you know, and I appreciate the point you just made, Dr. Hunter, about, and maybe they don't know, you know, maybe they don't realize they're in shared space or something like that. Maybe they didn't intend to do that. Okay, I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But some do, and it's nothing more or less than a boundary violation. Think about this. Is it possible to be startled and yet not afraid? Sure it is. You know, we can get startled by something. It doesn't mean we're afraid of it, but you can be startled. So you need to understand that difference between being startled and being afraid or scared. Excuse me. So if they're there, you know, how can I help you? What do you want? You know, and if you know them, well, then it's obvious why they're there. But if you don't know them, what can I do for you? you know, or if you see things happening or you sense them, but you're not seeing an apparition or something, but you sense something's there, maybe they're disturbing things, moving things, that's a boundary violation. You know, I often use the analogy, you're in your living room one evening, you're watching TV, and some person opens the front door, walks in, and starts moving a picture or a glass or whatever. What are you going to do? You're going to call the police, you know, or you're going to try to get them out there. It's a boundary violation, you know, and spirits are no different than humans. You view them just like people. Just because they can appear anywhere or go through walls or whatever they do doesn't give them the right to violate your boundaries or your space. We wouldn't do it to them. They don't do it to us. It's just the rule. And if they're bothering you in a firm voice with firm, deliberate intent, very important, you demand that they leave. You don't get angry. You don't yell. You just fervently, with conviction and passion, invite them in no uncertain terms to leave, because that's your domain, not theirs. And they must obey that. Now, there's a lot of people who will disagree with me on that. They think, well, you know, I'm being haunted. Well, you're being haunted because you're letting it. Don't do that. You know, and I don't care what you see on TV. I don't care what story you heard from your cousin's brother's aunt's uncle's cousin who's a ghost hunter. I don't care. They cannot harm you. So, nothing to fear. Just, you don't like being struggled on the leave.
I'd like to share a quick little story. I had moved into a house and I had heard that some months earlier, the father of this family had died in a car accident down the road. And so, okay, I'm moving this house. And about a month in, seriously, this guy literally stood at the end of my bed. And I went, oh, hello, do you have to scare me like that? Like, what are you doing here? And I knew it was a spirit, so let's be clear. And then he just vanished. Okay. A few days later, he shows up again. And I said, look, what can I do for you? He said, where's my family? I said, oh, you're the guy. And he said, but where's my family? I said, maybe you don't know this, but you're dead. What? He really didn't know he was dead. And I had to really get a thought about space and time, because it had been several months. And maybe wherever he was in some kind of a void. I don't know. But we had a little talk anyway. And he did hang around the place for, you know, about 3-4 weeks after that. He'd be out in the garage or he'd be in the yard or something. And I would just say, hey, how you doing? You know, take as much time as you need. Because he was healing at some other level that's none of my business. And again, I apply the same rule to spirits as I do to people. I don't give unsolicited advice. Unless I ask, I say, can I help you a little bit here? Is there something I can do for you? Because honestly, their journey is none of my business. And I really do take offense to people going on these big missions about, you know, clearing houses and, you know, doing it. Like, if they're not bothering you, you know, but then we can, and if they are bothering you, we can have a discussion. But we are in a life that's multi-layered. That is happening all the time. Just some of us are more sensitive to it than others. We tend to think that there's this reality and then some kind of spirit reality. But there can be many, many realities. We just happened to, the veil thinned out, we tuned in, or they powered up and came in to talk to us. I don't pretend to understand it. And honestly, I don't need to, except that I need to understand myself. So the more I know myself, the clearer it's been for me to be able to interact. So know yourself deep down, who you are, and treat it like people. Except if they're bugging you, just say, you know, you're kind of bugging me. I have a few that pass through. I don't have anybody living in the house I'm in now, but I get a few that pass through, and I say, oh, hello. And then they just kind of go away, and I say, okay, that was a quick visit, and off they go.
Not very polite.
No, not at all. I think they're just checking out the neighborhood or something, I don't know. But it's just have a relationship that suits you, but you might be able to be helpful, but don't be afraid. Know who you are. I can't stress that enough. The more you know who you are, the less any of this other will stress you out. And you can actually kind of meet some really cool people that just aren't in a body.
And I will add to that, you know, if you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone or anything else.
Absolutely.
And most people are possessed by other people, not spirits. So anyway, we're going to start wrapping things up. Good discussion. We appreciate all the comments in the chat room. We appreciate everyone joining us tonight for this live program, as well as those joining us with the archives. And if you're listening to the archives, and if you have an opportunity to join the live program, we'd sure love to have you here, you know, at 10 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night. Next week, we'll be back with some more topics, and I might even talk a little bit on why do we need to sleep. Been looking at that, but more so within the context of consciousness. And I'm just thinking through these things right now, so maybe I'll have something next week. Anyway, thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the program, and thanks to Dr. Hunter for being here. And
if I could just tell everybody just briefly that the quantum energy healing course is up, level one is up and available. So please go to the website and check it out.
Can get that if you're in the degree program at Metaphysics Institute, just go there. It's M35. If you're at Thomas Francis University, you can get it as G Course G330. That's available. So, and it's a great course, and we're looking forward to having students in it. Folks, have a great night. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.